Hallelujah. Directing your attention to Hebrews chapter 10, and then also we will go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. When you have found the place in Hebrews chapter 10, why don't you say amen? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. And this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Everybody say diligent. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. Please remain standing. Place your Bibles beside you this evening. And thank you for being faithful to Wednesday night Bible study. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear from you and to be in your presence and to be influenced by your anointing and your power that is in this place. I pray now, Lord, that every heart, every mind, and every life, Lord, right now would be open to the will of God and the way of God, and that you would move into our spirit and our soul, permeate the darkness, cast out everything that is not of you, and Lord, to impart your spirit in completeness, impart your holiness, your power, and your truth, that it would prevail and lead us into all righteousness. Anoint me to speak it and to teach it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can you clap your hands once again? Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your worship and for all that you do at this church. You may be seated. So, according to what we have just read, we must understand that we do not merely follow an external list of rules, but we follow the direction of the Holy Ghost within us. Everybody say, within us. The Holy Ghost within us. I'm going to talk to you tonight. This is my third lesson entitled God's Call to Holiness. This is lesson number 3 that I felt like the Lord has led me to do on Wednesday nights. So we will be dealing with holiness for some time, I feel. I feel like as we go through this these lessons or series of holiness that the Lord has laid upon my heart, it will just naturally take care of some things that has been battling you and has been plaguing our lives. So I just feel like this level of teaching on holiness will begin to heal our spirits in so many ways. We must pursue holiness because that holiness is the very nature of God. In 2015, we must understand that God has not changed. He is the same yesterday and forever. We must realize that the world may change. Philosophy may change. What is politically correct may change. But God never changes. And if we are going to serve God and be pleasing to God, we're going to have to be a people who will constantly and firmly stand on never-changing principles that honor God. Can we bless the name of Jesus tonight? So we can see God in one aspect and just be religious. But if we're going to see God one day, high and lifted up, and hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," we're going to have to take Christianity beyond religion to a place where we experience what we believe. And when we experience what we believe, we become changed by it. And so it is very important that we must pursue holiness, because it is who and what we are, and we want to be that person that will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, a lot of people who live for God go down the list about what they don't have to do. That's not a true love for God. That's not what God is looking for. That's not a sold out heart. That's not a committed life unto the Lord. That doesn't please God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 tells us to follow peace with all men and holiness, for without which no man shall see God. Now, holiness doesn't go down a list and try to figure out what it doesn't have to do. But holiness goes down through the Word of God, saying, "I get to serve Him in this capacity. I get to represent Him in this capacity. I get to know Him in this dimension. I get to walk with Him. I get to suffer with Him. I get to pray and I get to talk to Him." We must abstain from sin and worldliness, because it is an anathema, or you could say it is a curse to our new nature. If we are not abstaining from sin, it is literally a curse to our new nature. Now, you're going to get quiet for just a minute. Now, I have a burden on me, and it's heavy tonight. But I feel a necessity to take the people that I pastor to a place where we can understand that just sort of going through religious routines and adopting some sort of religious formality is not what God is looking for. Yes, when we are obeying God and we are getting to that place of conformity in God, yes, a religious protocol will appear. A religious behavior will appear. A religious dress code will appear. But if we're only in touch with the religious dress code, if we're only in touch with the religious protocol, if we're only in touch with the religious vocabulary, and we still do not know Him, we have missed the point. Now, in order to truly abstain from sin and worldliness, in order to keep from damaging or cursing our own nature, our own born-again nature, we're going to have to go beyond just an acquaintance with Pentecostal religion or tradition. We're going to have to go into the place where we truly know God and we are converted from the old man. Now, we will struggle against the desires of the old nature. That's always going to be a battle. We still struggle against the desires of the old nature, but it is an internal struggle. Everybody say, it is an internal struggle. Nobody should have to impose rules on us. We should restrict our flesh because we wish to follow the Spirit. Because we wish to follow the Holy Ghost. We do this because we understand the beauty of holiness. You see, if somebody asks you why you dress the way you dress, why you live the way you live, and your answer is because our preacher says so, then you have missed the point. If somebody asks you why you do these things, and you just say it's because my mama and daddy did it, it's because the church I go to does it, then you have missed the point. Okay? Now, this is very important that I make this clear. We still fight against the flesh and the blood, the things that are in our body. We're going to have a battle in the spirit realm. And these things are embedded in our body. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is always going to want to come back and challenge you on some level. But you're going to have to, instead of fighting it by your head knowledge, you're going to have to take it to the soul, to the spirit, to the anointing, to the prayer room, to the power of the Holy Ghost, and begin to cast these things out of your life. That's where your power is. If you're just trying to live for God in your head, you're going to be a phony. You'll have the dress code probably. You'll have a Christian vocabulary probably. But you won't love your neighbor. You won't forgive people. You won't pray. You see what I'm saying? In order to truly be a genuine Christian and to back up our dress code and to back up our behaviors, to back up our doctrine, we're going to have a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. Now, we still struggle against things the enemy throws at us. Nobody, I'm going to say this again. Everybody say nobody. Nobody should have to impose rules upon us. If we are a born again, genuinely born again, apostolic, we should not have to have rules put upon us by somebody. We should be following a love affair, a fervency of compassion that's within our soul. Now, nobody should have to impose rules on us. We should restrict our own flesh. Everybody say that. We must restrict our own flesh. Why do we do that? Because we wish to follow after the Holy Ghost. Everybody say that with me. Because we wish to follow after the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to pick up the pace here in just a moment. We do this because we realize that the beauty of holiness is more beautiful and more wonderful than anything the world has to offer. The dress code of the world is not beautiful in the eyes of God. It is a contradictory to holiness. Okay? And so we don't want to dress like the world because we would be contradicting our own efforts in living for God. So we dress like God wants the church to dress. But it's more than just putting on a garment and having an appearance of holiness. We've got to go beyond just the appearance of holiness to the point that we are holy through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, with all that, we must strive to accomplish such beauty in our hearts. Now, if the beauty is emanating from the core of our heart, everybody got that? If righteousness, if holiness, if purity, if truth, if all the attributes of Christ is emanating from the inside of our heart, none of our garments, none of our speech, none of our vocabulary, none of our behaviors will be tweaked in some kind of way. They will all reflect the personality, the love, the beauty, the kindness, the adornment of the beauty of holiness. Our dress code will have an affection for His holiness. Our vocabulary will have an affection for His holiness. Our love for our brother and our sister will have a tone to it that is an affection for His holiness. If we have the real deal in our soul, we won't have to worry so much about our behaviors because it will just follow suit to the core of our being. You see, when the core of our soul and the core of our walk with God is becoming tainted because we don't spend enough time in the altar, or we don't spend enough time in the Word, or we don't spend enough time trying to get closer to God. When the core of our being is becoming tainted, then we have to get on more of a guard and be more careful to try to fool the people around us that we're still Christians. We okay? And we end up hollow, having a form of godliness that defies the power thereof. So saints of God, we're always going to be in a fight with the enemy and with the flesh, but we've got to watch ourselves closely, and instead of trying to fool everybody with some kind of religious phoniness, we just go ahead and go to the altar and speak in tongues, repent of sin, and pray, and allow God to reconfigure us and to rebuild us and to conform us to the beauty of His holiness. There's nothing wrong with somebody having the Holy Ghost 20 years or 40 years or 50 years or 60 years, coming in that altar and crying like a brand new convert and speaking in other tongues. I was preaching a revival one time and a guy said, I would have come to the altar, but somebody would have thought something was wrong. Such a Pharisaical church, I couldn't hardly take it. And I told him, the fact that you think that way means that you are lost. I didn't do too well the first three nights at that church. But toward the end, it exploded. Because when the people really began to get rid of the phony religion and a hold to the real relationship, revival broke out in their lives. We must understand, it just doesn't matter. I wish we wouldn't teach our children that kind of self-righteousness. I wish we would just let them see a person that's been serving God 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years just come plow up in that altar and speak in tongues and repent over anything that's in their life and get a hold of God and let them see the tears streaming down and let them see elders showing them how to keep a sincere, genuine relationship with God. Don't ever be afraid to come to the altar because you think somebody is going to think something's wrong. If they think that, they're wasting precious time they could be using in the altar. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm trying to bust up some religious philosophies that are not on our side. If we're going to be holy people, we don't need to believe that the altar is a plague. The altar is just as much for Christians as it is for sinners. It's where we all stay saved. Is that okay? Bless the name of Jesus. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, I want to declare that holiness will not come to us automatically as we rest passively. It's just not going to happen automatically. Now, I understand I'm a fifth generation Pentecost. I have heard some of that. But I want you to realize that we must be careful that when we are repent of our sin and we're buried in water in the name of Jesus for remission of sin and we're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is wonderful. That is awesome. That is glorious. You can't hardly beat that because we have been regenerated into the kingdom of God. But at that point, we must allow the process of sanctification to take root in our life. You can't just get the Holy Ghost, throw it in park, fold your arms, and sit on a bench for 50 years. You've got to allow the Holy Ghost to continue to work in your life, perfecting the things of God. That's called the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification will produce holiness. That's what it's for. Everybody say, that's what it's for. The process of sanctification, when you get the Holy Ghost, I've already made this statement, but I feel like I need to say it again. Nobody starts raising their children before they're born. You might prepare for their birth. You get the nursery ready and you get the toys ready and you get all these things ready. You're preparing, you're anticipating. But when the child gets there, that's when you start raising the child. So we have to show up in the church house in order for God to start raising us. We have to show up on His radar as being born again. He won't start raising us in the process of sanctification until we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. Then once we are born into the family of God, He will start raising us up as a member of the family of God. Yes, there are sinners out there that the Lord's protected today. But they're not being raised up in the kingdom of God. In order for them to be trained up like they should go, they're going to have the Holy Ghost to get a hold of that kind of wisdom and to get a hold of that kind of power in order to live godly. So the God's protection when we're lost out in the world is different than God's sanctification. That happens after we're born again of the water and the Spirit. And then He will work on our heart with convictions. He will stir us and with teachings of the Word and with a pastor preaching. And He will work on us, and we must hear this preaching and hear this teaching, and we must allow the Holy Ghost to convict our soul and to convict us of things that are in our life. And we must pull this stuff out so that the Holy Ghost can continue to work on us and conform us into His likeness. Now, all of this is done so that one day He can present you and I unto Himself, holy and blameless in the sight of God. So, I go back to what I said, Mount Pisgah. We cannot just sit idly by and believe that holiness is automatically going to just fall on us. We have got to work in agreement with the process of sanctification. That's the Holy Ghost saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't hang out there. Don't dress like that. Don't talk like that. Don't hold a grudge. Repent. Pray. And as you follow the voice of the Lord and you are obedient to every nudging of the Holy Ghost, you are being conformed into the image of holiness, which is the image of God. Okay? Are we still okay? We understanding what I'm talking about tonight? Now, so we are going to have to put our shoulder to the wheel and be obedient and be in agreement and allow God to do the work. So in other words, we're going to have to let Him sink the plow in this old soil and just plow up some things. And we're going to have, well, you can't do that just idly by. It's going to take a prayer room. And it's going to take some confessions to the Lord. It's going to take some repenting. It's going to take a daily commitment to the things of God. Now, we must actively implement the spiritual principles every day. Everybody say every day. We must actively implement the spiritual principles He places within us. We must resist the devil, subdue the sinful nature, discipline the flesh, and kill the fleshly deeds of the body that would be sin against God. That's our job. Everybody say, that's our job. You're not going to passively sit by and get that job done. You're going to have to come up off of the comfort zone and arise to the occasion and say, I've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. I've got to subdue evil that is in my life. I've got to conquer this old thought process. I've got to pull down everything that the enemy has built up, every structure, every idol, every altar that has been built up in my life that glorifies the devil. I got to pull it down. I got to tear it down. I got to walk on it. I got to tread on it. And I've got to let God form me and shape me into the image of His holiness. Thus the Bible teaches in Romans 6 and 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin. Everybody say, let not sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look at yourself. Look at your fingers. Look at your toes. Look at your hands. These are instruments that God is depending on you to use for righteousness. Even your form is going to be judged on judgment day. Did you use your instruments? Did you use your limbs? Did you use everything that you have to give glory and honor and exaltation unto God? Where did your feet take you? What kind of conversation did your tongue hold? What did your hands do? In 2 Peter, let me go on and use this verse here. In James 4 and 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Everybody say, resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Some people live decades with the devil controlling their lives, and they're calling themselves Christians. But the reason that he never has to leave is because there's areas of their heart that they will never clean up. Either God's going to live there or the devil will live there. Some of us has learned some religious routines that keep us faithful to one part of Christianity. But we have learned some very bad habits that keeps us unfaithful to God in a lot of areas. And we want to call it all Christianity. But the devil won't lie. I mean, God won't lie to himself. It's either all or none. So he backs up. And the devil comes into your life and begins to ramrod and mess with you and wreck you and tear us apart. We must realize that that if we're going to truly serve God, we are going to have to be a committed people. And when we commit ourselves unto God in the fullness of holiness, the devil will flee from us. In verse 8, James 4 and 8, draw nigh to God. Everybody say, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. That doesn't mean just start today and just stop tomorrow. That doesn't mean what you did 40 years ago or 50 years ago. That means draw nigh to God right now. Draw right nigh to God tomorrow. Draw nigh to God the next day. Draw nigh to God the next day. It's a journey that you are walking closer to God and toward God every day. And when you are tightening it up every day, when you're tweaking your relationship every day, the devil will have to flee from that kind of spirituality. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. See, you only have to kind of do halfway. If you're really drawing nigh to God on this end, he's on that end coming toward you. Going to shorten the trip. That's what a genuine relationship with God will do. It'll get you closer to God real fast. But a form of religion, a formality of religion, some kind of tradition that man has cranked up is not going to do it for you. You're going to have to get a hold to a walk with God that's really cleaning your life up. That's what we got to do. We've got to get a hold to a walk with God that really cleans our life up. That's really doing it. Not just says it's doing it, but really doing it. And then it's going to draw us unto God, and it's going to draw him unto us. And verse 8 says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When we begin to cleanse ourselves and purify ourselves, and all of our motions and all of our activities, we're making sure it is a godly conduct in every way, then the confusion will leave us. We will no longer be double-minded. We won't have one foot trying to go to the world and one foot trying to go to church. We'll have both feet jumping into the house of God, and with all of God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We won't be confused. We won't be going down through the Bible trying to figure out what we don't have to do. We won't be confused anymore. We'll be turning through the pages and say, I get to do that. I get to do that. I get to do that. Oh my, I get to do that. I get to do that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look, everybody kind of point to your eyes, look. Seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish. We must make every effort. We must make every effort to be found spotless in the eyes of God. We must make every effort to be found blameless in the eyes of God and at peace with man and him. In order to be found holy, we must allow the process of sanctification to do its work to present us holy and unblameable before the Lord. Furthermore, if we truly love God, we will obey God's commandment. That's settled. That's Bible. In John 14 and 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. We can say we love God, but if we don't obey his commandments, we've got a love problem. That's Bible. We can say we love God, but if we willingly go out and commit sin, we willingly go out and do things that are not of God, we willingly go out and we break the laws of God, we don't truly love God. And until we really acknowledge that in our life, we can't start fixing it. But when we say we love God, and then we go out and we do things that are not godly, we need to arrest our own self. Don't wait till pastor does it. Don't wait until somebody else calls it out. Go ahead and get it a hold to it yourself and say, I've got a love for God problem. If I'm willing to do this or if I'm willing to do that, there's something wrong in my heart. In order to be found holy, we must allow that process that God has ordained to take place in our life. In John goes on to say in verse 22 of the same chapter, John 14, verse 22, he goes on to say, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? And not unto the world. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, everybody say that, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Holiness, that leads to a complete compliance to God's word clears the spiritual airways for God to come unto us. Anybody want God to get closer to you? Anybody want God to be more active in your life? Does anybody really want that spirituality of the Holy Ghost to begin to pop and be real vibrant? Be really vibrant and active in your life? Go ahead, let him know you want that right now. Now, holiness that leads to a complete compliance to God's word will clear up the airways. It'll cast the devil out. It'll cast the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh out and the pride of life. It'll just cast out all this debris and allow God to it'll just kind of suck him right on in there, and you'll get a closer walk with God. All the spiritual clutter and all the junk that you kick around every day. When we truly draw with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, when we get to this place that we desire to completely comply with every word of the Lord, with everything that God has laid before us, then it's going to create a spiritual power of authority. And all of a sudden, all these little things that's been plaguing you and hindering you and postponing the miraculous in your life, it's just going to be cast out, because it's got to run away. It can't stay in the presence of that kind of power. Now, without true love for Jesus in our hearts. Let me say that again. Without true love for Jesus in our hearts, all attempts to live for God are vain. Without true love for God, and a true compliance, trying to comply to the will of God in every way, without that in your heart, any attempts to live for God is just viewed as trying to climb up another way. Let's not waste our time climbing up other ways. We're just going to get knocked off. It's not going to happen. We're not going to make it to God climbing up any other way. We're going to be called a thief. We'll be called a robber. We'll be viewed as some kind of bandit trying to access the things of God without the keys of God. Saints of God, we're the church. We're the people of God. We're the people who have the opportunity to repent and to be water baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. We are the people that have been given the baptism of the Holy Ghost to speak in other tongues as God gives the utterance. We are the people that has been led by our hand through the process of sanctification so that we can be holy. We don't have to climb up any other way. All we have to do is follow the way of the Lord, and God will unlock every door, and He will bless us and heal us and deliver us and give us power. When we truly love God, we will actively hate evil, and we will seek to become like our holy God. In Psalms 97 and 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. When we reach this status of hating evil in our lives, and we are working to get it out of our lives by imparting holiness that leads to completing the Word of God in every area of our life, then a spiritual preservation. Somebody say a spiritual preservation. A spiritual preserving power of God, it comes from God, begins to occur in our life, and we are delivered out of the hand of wickedness. So many people want a form of godliness because that's all they want, because they don't really want to give up anything internal to God. But yet they want to be delivered out of all their turmoil. If we would cast the turmoil out of the core of our being, we would cast a lot of turmoil out of our life. That's right. Let me tell you what goes on in the spirit realm sometimes. We come to the altar with no intentions of correcting mistakes in our life. We come to the altar just wanting to get the Band-Aid put on the bobo that our misbehaving caused. Are we okay? So we come to the altar asking God for the Band-Aid with no true intention to fix the conduct that caused the problem in the first place. That's not holiness. That's not what God's looking for. Yes, the Lord is merciful. Yes, the Lord is loving. He'll take a person like that and He'll lift them up. He'll even bless them. He'll let them feel His presence. But it won't last. It won't endure. It'll fade away. And that person will be left in the same condition as they once were. But if we'll come to the altar with a true genuineness to saying, God, I don't want that behavior in my life. I don't want that conduct in my life. I don't want that mentality. I don't want nothing about that in my life anymore. I want to be delivered of it. I want to be separated from it. Then that's different. And we live every day shunning it. Live every day resisting it. Live every day pushing ourselves away from it. Living every day saying, I don't want to see it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to be nowhere around it. That is a desire to be holy. And when we live that way, we will begin to find strength and we'll find power and we'll find authority to resist the devil in those areas. When we are living for God with everything we got and we're allowing Him to impart holiness that leads to complying to everything He requires, then a spiritual preservation comes in our life that is so powerful that it will cast out addictions. It will cast out ungodliness. It'll cast out the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the power of life. We will not have that power living on the edge trying to figure out what we just have to do. Come off the edge, get in the center, and live for God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the power of God will come in your life so powerfully and so wonderfully and so awesome. It'll be like the writer. Oh, it's like fire set up in my bones. It's unspeakable and full of joy. This spiritual conduct of true holiness brings an anointing on our life that destroys the yoke. In Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Everybody say, because? Because of the anointing. The anointing is what breaks the yoke on your life. We come to the altar with no true desire to commit all of our heart. We just want the Band-Aid. And the devil's standing there saying, I've got jurisdiction here. The devil's saying, I don't have to go nowhere. And the Lord says, yeah, you don't have to go nowhere. Because sin, everybody say sin. Sin. You got that? Sin. You remember that word? The world may not believe in it anymore, but God still knows it's there. Sin will cause us to be a servant to something. And the God, the lowercase g, everybody say the lowercase g. The lowercase g means the God of this world. The God of this world, with the lowercase g, means the devil. Okay? When we have sin in our life and we're not willing to give it completely up, then the devil's saying, I still have a place here. See, sin belongs to him. And as long as it's in your heart, the devil can be in your heart. Oh, that's kind of strong, isn't it? But when you cast all of sin out of your heart and you're fighting tooth and nail and you're calling on God and you have a genuine desire not to have any of it in your life, then all of the devil is cast out of your heart. and he's got to leave because you just terminated your relationship with him. I think Mount Pisgah, we need to go ahead and just terminate our relationship with the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I think we just need to go ahead and terminate our relationship with sin and the devil and anything thereof that is not of God. And we need to go ahead and say, God, fill up that place. Fill up that place. Fill up my heart. Fill me up, Lord, with all of your power and your glory and your peace and your anointing. I'm hurrying to a close here. Many people claim the Holy Ghost, but they do not walk in the power that in the power or the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, there are spiritual yokes in their life that is not yet destroyed because there is not any anointing to do so. You can claim the Holy Ghost and have experienced the Holy Ghost and go lukewarm and cold and indifferent and be strayed from God and be a slave to the devil. But if you're going to walk in the power of God, you're going to have to go back to the Holy Ghost, crank that power up in your life, and keep it alive every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Love. I've got to finish. I've got to stop here. But love for a true love for God is stricter and more demanding than the law. I'm gonna stop right here and I'll just start next Wednesday night. Love is stricter. Everybody say love is stricter. Preachers, false doctrines all over everywhere has messed this up and blurred it and fouled it up so that the church won't understand it. Love is stricter and more demanding than the law. For love always goes beyond duty. The law was duty. It was duty. But grace, in the grace dispensation, grace is here so that we can learn what love should do to us. The love of God should cause us to go beyond duty. The people who are just searching this Bible to find out what they have to do and get rid of what they don't have to do, don't have a love for God in their heart. I know it's tough. That's tough. But God is looking for people that's not going to murmur and complain about looking like Him, living like Him, loving like Him, being holy like Him. It was duty in the Old Testament that made them fulfill the law of Moses. But in the New Testament, it must be a true love for God and His righteousness that compels us, somebody say compels us to go beyond duty to the point that it is an honor to do what we do. It is an honor to be an apostolic. It is an honor to be a one God, Jesus name tongue talker. It's an honor to look like these young ladies. It's an honor to look like these young men. It's an honor to live for God. It is an honor. It's a privilege. It's something you get to do. Oh, come on, young people. Quit saying we have to go to church again. We get to go to church. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's an honor to be in the presence of God. It's an honor. It's an honor to walk through them doors. It's an honor to hear the Word of God. It's an honor to sit in this atmosphere. It's an honor to be here on a Wednesday night. It's an honor. Love brings us beyond duty. Would you stand with me all over this sanctuary? Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and would you just tell the Lord that it's an honor. It's an honor to live for Him. It's an honor to love Him. Oh, when we live like that, it's an honor. It will cause us to draw affectionately closer to God than the law ever could. When we live for Him like I'm teaching you right now, it's an honor to trust Him. It's an honor to live for Him. It's an honor to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's an honor to dress holy. It's an honor to separate ourselves from the world. It's an honor to live for God. It's an honor to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's an honor.
to be a Christian that will draw us affectionately closer to Him than the law ever could. Could we lift our hands once again? The altars is open in this place. If anybody would want to lead the way and just step out and say, Lord, give me more of your love. Give me more affection for your truth. Lord, help me to cast out anything anywhere in my heart that is hindering you from having my whole heart. Lord, anything in my life that's hindering the process of sanctification, I want it out of my life. Anything, Lord, anything that's causing me to try to look in the Bible, wondering what I just have to do and what I can get away with. Anything that's causing me to be that way, oh God, Lord, help me to get it out of my life right now. Help me to cast it out right now. Help me to get rid of it right now. Oh Lord, help me to draw affectionately closer to you with all of my heart, with all of my soul and mind and strength. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to fulfill all the words of God. Help me to obey all your commandments. Lord, help me. Help me to get that real love that will obey every commandment. Help me to get that Holy Ghost love that obeys every commandment of God. Help me, Jesus, to get that love that will obey every letter, every word of the Bible. Help me, Lord, to get that kind of love that will make me pure and that will make me holy and undefiled. Help me get that love, God. Help me to get that love. Help me, Lord. Help me to answer the call to holiness. Oh, hallelujah. Help me to answer the call to holiness.
Holy like you. I want to be holy. Holy like you. I want to be holy. Holy like you. Holy.